Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hour number two of Two Bros Live, Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. We're going to have to get to Star Wars at some point here. There's internet rumors that are just insane with Star Wars. So we'll have plenty of time for that. We spent the entirety of the first hour talking about the AFC East and the change to the landscape with Cam Newton now on the New England Patriots. News today that his deal is only for $550,000 guaranteed, but still a heavy favorite to start week one for the Patriots. If he's healthy, he should be starting. Now to talk more about Newton and maybe what we last saw from him in Carolina, John Ellis from OnePantherPlace.com at OnePantherPlace on Twitter joins us on the West Her Hotline. John's Joe and Lou here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, gentlemen, pleasure to be on. I'm the latest Carolina defector to Buffalo now, so congratulations to me.
We should be calling on you a lot more often. I mean, yeah. It seems like every other week the Bills are bringing in somebody with Carolina ties. This, of course, is not Bills-related. This is it's still AFC East-related, but it's with the Patriots and Cam Newton basically becoming their likely starting quarterback for 2020. So let's start with the last you saw of Newton in 2018. And maybe we'll get into 2019 a little bit more as an injury part of this. But the last you saw when Newton was healthy, how good of a quarterback was he still?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You have to go back to that 2018 season in that first half where he really had a command on North Turner's offense. And I can't stress North Turner enough because he came in, cleaned some things up that Mike Shula had sort of not cleaned up over the years in terms of protections, in terms of maybe running a more horizontal attack. And I think a lot of that was to favor Newton's shoulder, which has really not been right since 2016 when he sustained an injury in San Diego. So I think what happened there is he comes in, they play a more high-percentage game. Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, Christian McCaffrey, these are guys that can get open in space and make plays. So there wasn't any real vertical attack to speak of. The TJ Watt hit happened halfway through the season. They were 6-2 at that point, and from there, he had a couple of good games, but there was a steady decline. I think it's pretty well chronicled. He just had a hard time getting himself the velocity he needed to make the throws he needed down the stretch. And by the time they played the Saints on Monday Night Football, it's about the worst I've ever seen Cam Newton play a game. It was stunning. At that point, they put him on the bench. They gave Kyle Allen a shot, who lit it up against the backups in New Orleans. And then the speculation was, we've got our new starter here. Well, not so fast, my friend, as they say. So it was 2019, yeah. And you guys know the rest. The foot gets hurt. The shoulder was better. From there, I'm curious to see how the foot impacts his throws moving forward if the foot has not healed completely.
John, I follow you on Twitter. Obviously, you're really high on Cam Newton. Really good to talk to you today. Obviously, the Panthers are in a new era, right? Matt Rhule is their new head coach. He brings in LSU pass game coordinator Joe Brady to be his offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, do you believe, because early on Rhule said like he was looking forward to coaching Newton, did they ever really consider Cam to be an option in 2020 as their guy, or was it always an understanding that they were going to move forward with a new quarterback who ended up being Teddy Bridgewater?
Oh, I completely think that they gave it a look early on. You know, Joe Brady comes in, you know, from LSU, but also spent a lot of time with Sean Payton there in New Orleans and had some relationships prior with Bridgewater. So I think they had, you know, kept an open mind about Newton. The thing I'll go back to is at the combine, Matt Rhule gave quite a few interviews there and was pretty candid about one thing, you know, that they, you know, Cam Newton is a great quarterback. We love what we see on tape, but he never committed to him being the starter. And, you know, a lot of folks in the media picked up on that here in Charlotte and said, he's not going all the way with him. And by now you would think, even with the injuries, you know, we're fully committed to getting this guy right and bringing him back. He's only 31. He's been in this league for about a decade, and he's been a great not only pillar in the community, but he's taken the team to a Super Bowl, several playoff appearances, and has had very little to work with on the perimeter. So I was a little bit surprised in terms of the messaging, how they handled it. It was a little bit sloppy in my view, but at the end of the day, as I've told people, right, wrong, and different, and I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater is an upgrade over Cam Newton at any point in his career. The guys want who they want, Matt Rhule, Joe Brady. And maybe it's a personality conflict. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But I'm really high on Cam Newton to the point where I think you get that guy at least a few more years to see if he can't take you to one more run there.
The Panthers would factor into this as well. But I was interested in the Adam Schefter report from earlier in the week that New England was the only team to offer Newton a contract, and Cleveland was the only other team to even check in on him. And it just seems so strange to me that a quarterback with that type of record and that type of proven track record as a quarterback doesn't get a little bit more any interest really around the league. Would you put that more towards his perceived personality issues? I personally think that all of that is garbage, that it shouldn't matter, that on the field is really what should matter. If he's a little quirky, who cares? Or do you think, which also is a very likely, I think, scenario, that it just didn't play out, the timing was bad for Newton, that when the pandemic happened and when the league basically shut down was when teams had all of these injury questions with him.
Right. I think there's a lot of issues here at hand. First of all, there is a stigma out there still, and it may be just a few general managers, maybe just one or two. I don't think half the league thinks he's, you know, a problem in the locker room. They'd be foolish to think that because these guys talk to each other around the league, these executives, coaches. And, you know, Cam is very well respected. You've seen some of the mic'd up stuff and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Cam. He gets along great with a lot of his peers, not only with Carolina as well as around the league, but also a lot in the media, too. And the thing that struck me was the injury was just so poorly timed out from his perspective. Because, you know, you've got a robust quarter market. I mean, you've got Tom Brady out there. You've got guys left and right, you know, making transactions for quarterbacks to the point where your injury rehab is timed out just woefully bad in terms of all that market activity. And so Cam's not looking to be a backup. Now, you know, speculation, he may be backing up in New England. I'll believe that when I see it, folks. I just think it timed out really poorly for him this time around. So when the starting roles got eaten up in that first week or two of free agency, I honestly think it was more of him taking a step back and say, you know what, let me reassess my situation. Carolina, you know, I wanted to be there, but clearly they didn't want me there. And there was a $19 million deal right there the last year of that deal that I don't know Carolina or he were comfortable with. But at the same time, he's now paying, you know, $550 base and a lot of incentives too, which is remarkably low in my opinion, to play for Bill Belichick. And I think that's the wild card there. I'm not sure if he would play for any other team for that amount, but he sees value there. And speaking of value, Belichick is notorious for this. You guys know, if you can get value at a position like quarterback at that low of a price, even for 1 year, you can really do some damage on the roster in other areas. So I just think it was a win-win for both guys.
John, do you like the fit Cam Newton on the field and off the field with the Patriots? I personally believe the whole, I don't know, I think some people have this misconception about Cam as a personality, as a teammate, as a leader. I think that was more so of a media created thing. And also, I don't know, I see sometimes people talk about, you know, Bill Belichick, he's not going to want to deal with the antics, you could call, and the celebrations. But I mean, there's videos of Belichick talking to his players saying he wants them to celebrate, and he's taking chances on guys like Antonio Brown, Randy Moss, Chad Ochocinco. So I think off the field, I'm curious to get your thoughts on the fit and also on the field. I think this is finally, he hasn't had an offensive coordinator like Josh McDaniels his entire career outside of Norv Turner for, you know, 8 healthy weeks.
Yeah. Let's ask you one question here. Who wants to win more than anyone? Bill Belichick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's willing to do almost anything to do it? Who's proven he's willing to do almost anything to do it, including bending the rules at times? Bill Belichick. Yeah. So I don't think the perception that Newton, which is an incorrect perception, is somehow going to be a distraction. And for their culture, their locker room, it's going to give him any reason for pause whatsoever. It's an overblown narrative. We've talked about that. Let me tell you a little bit about Cam Newton's story back in 2014. And he's driving down uptown Charlotte, flips his truck, breaks a couple bones in his back. You know, it was a scary scene. 2 weeks later, he comes back. He's in the lineup. They win 3 straight games to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They had to run the table. That's how tough he is. He's a tough guy. He's always fought through pain. He's never complained. He's not been given the, you know, easiest hand in terms of switching coordinators, dealing with different situations at wide receiver, none of which were really attractive after Steve Smith left. So I think Belichick sees a guy who has done more with less out there than a lot of guys. And that's a valuable trait that Belichick evaluates. In terms of on the field, because the off-the-field stuff doesn't concern me at all.
Right.
On the field, I think it's a decent fit because the EP system, the Earhart Birkin system that Belichick has run for years, or some variations of it, and McDaniels has tweaked it over the years. Cam ran it for 5 years or so in Carolina with Mike Shula. So he's familiar with some of the terminology, some of the concepts. I think it'll be a fairly easy transition from that end. Which, again, I think that could be one of many factors that led Cam to be attracted to go to New England.
John Ellis of OnePantherPlace.com, at OnePantherPlace on Twitter, joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Newton and his health, we've brought it up a bunch of times here already with you. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, it's almost a two-part question here. My perception is that Newton, among quarterbacks in the NFL, is not the most deadly accurate, that his mechanics sometimes can be a little bit sloppy or maybe inconsistent is a better word for that. And I wonder about his ability to become a pocket passer and have the longevity that some of these older quarterbacks that are pocket passers in the league have had. So I'm wondering if Newton's injuries affect this, or whether just age and the loss of athleticism over time affects this. Does he strike you as a consistent enough passer in the pocket to have the longevity that some of these other quarterbacks have into their mid to late 30s?
Right. That's a very fair question there. I think, you know, you can look at this from several elements there in terms of pocket passing. You've got the actual delivery release, the mechanics, and that's always been something he has had his own way with. The footwork has not been the prettiest. People have criticized him for it. It's worked at times. Some of the stuff he tends to struggle with, when McCaffrey first came around, some of these quick angle routes to the backfield, he would just throw them like Favre used to throw these quick five-yard slants way too hard, high, float these things. A couple of these led to picks in critical situations, one at Minnesota and one against Minnesota back in 17 in the middle of a four-minute drill. They're trying to run the clock out. They almost lost the game. So there's things like that that I'm sure Belichick is aware of. That Newton does struggle with at times. He does float a lot of balls, and now it's footwork. Maybe it's just part of the shoulder wearing down at times. What he does give you, though, and what doesn't go noticed by many, is he's not a running quarterback, a one-read guy. If you watch film on him, and there's countless examples, just go to my Twitter feed, he will sit in that pocket, and he will scan the field, and he puts that ball in intermediate to deep range when the shoulder's right, and really, you know, ample places. You know, we're talking about leading guys in the right direction, throwing the post where it needs to be, throwing away from contact so guys don't get hurt in the middle of the field. He's got a good way about him in terms of finding the right spots. But no, he's never going to be a consistent 70% guy. So as long as the legs can hold up, and I'm telling you, he's a 6'5" behemoth that's built like Julius Peppers. I don't think you can look at him like an RG3. He's just built different, so I think he'll recover different. And I have no doubt they're going to, you know, run him 5, 6, 7 times a game, which is really all he's done throughout his career, and it's all you need. If that goes away, if he can't run the ball anymore with effectiveness, he's got a bit of a problem there with Newton, and I think it's more than fair to say.
John, I'm curious to get your thoughts on who the Panthers replaced Newton with, because Joe and I have had debates about Teddy Bridgewater in the past. I personally like the fit with Brady, with Rhule, with the type of weapons Carolina has. You know, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson now, Curtis Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. What is your stance on Teddy Bridgewater in Carolina in 2020? Do you think he's just a, you know, sorry for the pun, but a bridge quarterback? do you think he is a bridge quarterback this year, or is he somebody, you know, he signed a 3-year contract. Rhule speaks highly of him all the time. Is he actually somebody they're considering long-term?
I have no idea, honestly. And I think anybody who covers the team would be lying if they told you they had any clue what this organization is doing moving forward. But I'll say this. I like the fact that they signed Bridgewater. They signed Robbie Anderson. They were proactive on the offensive line and added a couple of veteran pieces. I think that's a good thing. That shows you that, you know what, we weren't going to mail it in with Will Greer for a whole year and keep the roster standing pat and just assume that we're going to win one or two games. Now, they still might have a hard time winning 5 or 6 games. They might, because the defense is a very young unit, very little experience. Heck, their coordinator has never called a play on the pro level. So these guys are college staff coaches, and they need to cut their teeth this year. What I will say is this: Bridgewater strikes me as a guy who plays within his system, does not freelance, is very disciplined, and that's something that Sean Payton loves, and it worked very well for him. He was very much protected last year, though, in those 5 wins. A lot of 6, 7, 8 man protections at times. They gave him a lot of reason to be comfortable back there, and he handled it well. I don't know if he's going to have that level of comfort behind this line. He's going to have to take his lumps. And he hasn't been a regular starter since 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And that blows my mind when you look at that, that he got that contract, which isn't insignificant, for not being a starter in the last 4 or 5 seasons. He went through the leg injury. I'm pulling for the guy. I think it'd be a great redemption story on his end. And he's a fantastic guy who works his tail off. I just don't know if he's going to be the kind of guy that can take you to that next level. I think he can take your offense to some good places within the system that Brady runs, and I think he'll run it very disciplined. He won't turn the ball over. He'll take care of things, and he'll be accurate. But I just don't know, when the game is on the line and you're going to need somebody to push the ball down the field, that's his strength, and that does concern me a bit. We'll see. It's like an audition, I think. You know, if he puts together a semi-Pro Bowl type of run here for a couple of years, they may be comfortable sticking with him. I just don't know for sure yet.
Little bit of a selfish question here, because I have him in a couple of dynasty leagues for fantasy football, but is DJ Moore the next guy that a lot of people haven't heard of that's going to become a star receiver in the NFL?
I really do think so. I'm a huge fan of DJ Moore since day one. Obviously, Steve Smith sung his praises, said they finally replaced me. A little bit of hyperbole, I think, but if you look at their games, there's a lot of similarities. DJ plays with sort of a quiet rage. If you get him in open space, he seeks contact. He runs like a running back. He's a very physical player. One thing he needs to continue to work on is his routes. That's something that has gotten better. But I would say production-wise, from your question, he'll probably get 1,000 again if he stays healthy, maybe more. And I wouldn't look to see I wouldn't necessarily not say he won't get maybe 300 rushing yards, because they do use him a lot in the running game, as well as a guy like Curtis Samuel that I think will get some extra touches as a back this year. But I love DJ Moore. I love his intensity. I love his, poise. I love the fact that he's humble. And, hey, just put up 1,000-yard season. You got to love that.
Yeah, the Panthers have a really fun, young offense. They give a lot of San Francisco 49ers-like vibes on both sides with the way they're kind of in this rebuilding process. So they're a fun team. Even if they only win 6 games this year, I think they're going to be a fun 6-win team. John, before we let you go, real quick, getting back to the AFC East, and, you know, obviously we've spent most of this conversation with you talking about Cam Newton. You're obviously very high on Cam. The Bills roster, a lot of Panthers ties, very talented in the AFC this year. Of course, the Jets and Dolphins still there too, but I feel like it's between the Bills and Patriots. Who do you think is the favorite right now, with Cam Newton now in-house in New England, to win the AFC East?
I'm still giving the Bills the edge here, and the reason is this. They were inches away last year. But you saw, you know, the very end of that season, they were this close to taking that division for the first time. And then what happens in the playoffs? It's a one-and-done for the Patriots. So there, it's not just about the quarterback. The Patriots had some deficiencies on offense that sort of set them back. And I'm not certain Cam gives them an instant upgrade in that area. And they're a well-built team. They've got good things going on defensively, but so does Buffalo. I mean, I'm looking at their roster now. Buffalo came down to practice against Carolina, and I was there every day for that at training camp, chronicling it, filming it. I've still got some pictures, video of Edwards, the linebacker, just destroying Greg Olsen in coverage. And the left tackle, Darrell Williams, who's now a Buffalo Bill, Jerry Hughes just chased him out of South Carolina that day. You guys have an amazing front seven and amazing secondary with White over there. I just think it's their time. I think if Josh Allen continues to grow, develop, who's got some, you know, Cam Newton in him there, you know, got some athleticism.
Yeah.
I think he's poised to take them to where they need to be, because you don't have to be perfect at quarterback, but you have to stretch the field and you got to make plays with your legs. And I think he's the kind of guy that can do that for him. I see Buffalo winning that division, injuries notwithstanding.
Good stuff. John, thanks for joining us today. You can follow John on Twitter at OnePantherPlace. Thanks for joining us, and have a great 4th of July weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks a lot. Enjoyed it a lot.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate it. John Ellis there on the Wester Hotline, OnePantherPlace.com. Cam Newton, good stuff. I have come to respect him as a threat in the past couple of days. But I am kind of where, you know, John is. John just said that he still thinks the Bills are the division winner. I do too. But now it got a lot more interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was clear before this signing. I didn't buy the Patriots hype before Cam. There's just too many holes in that roster. And for me, the Jets, they're
again,
as long as Adam Gase is head coach, I'm not going to be scared of that team.
I started the show with this. You had to kind of make the case for
really
the Jets and Dolphins
it.
Even being in it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody would ever call them the favorite. So,
yeah.
All right, we'll talk more about the division. Josh Allen's bar, though. I want to use Cam Newton as the line in the sand, like the bar that maybe Allen needs to reach, or do we think it should be higher than that? We'll use Newton as an example for Allen because there are so many comparables between the two. So we'll continue on with that. We got some Star Wars chatter that we need to address at some point on today's show. And I'm very excited to talk with Mike Tagliere, Fantasy Pros, at 2 o'clock. We'll do a little bit of fantasy in the third hour. And Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus will also be our guest at 2:30. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase, Two Bros Live, looking for your calls at 803-0550 right after this on WGR.
When the starting roles got eaten up in that first week or two of free agency, I honestly think it was more of him taking a step back and saying, you know what, let me reassess my situation. Carolina, you know, I wanted to be there, but clearly they didn't want me there, and there was a $19 million deal right there the last year of that deal that I don't know Carolina or he were comfortable with. But at the same time, he's now paying, you know, $550 base and a lot of incentives too, which is remarkably low in my opinion, to play for Bill Belichick. And I think that's the wild card there. I'm not sure if he would play for any other team for that amount.
John Ellis, OnePantherPlace.com, just joined us on the West Her Hotline in the last segment. You'll be able to find that shortly, if not already, at On Demand at WGR550.com and the Radio.com app. Our producer, or esteemed producer, Corey Griswold's nodding his head, so be sure to go check that out. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to get to your calls in just 1 second. We've got Premier League on in here right now. Tottenham Hotspurs just tied Sheffield. It's now 1-1 in the 32nd minute. I've been trying to get Lou in on Premier League for a very long time.
At least a decade.
Basically, since I started becoming a Liverpool fan in 2013. Now, Corey, I saw you had a Liverpool mug or cup in there the other day.
That's correct.
You're a Liverpool guy too.
Factual.
Okay, good. So this is what happened. And Corey, this is why I'm upset, because I've been trying to get Lou in on Liverpool for like 7 years now. And the reason I picked them in the beginning was the fact that they hadn't won in a really long time. Like the drought that Liverpool had gone through was lengthy.
Get in on the ground floor.
Right, exactly. But also,
but I don't like the sport enough to be with a bad team. Like, you got to be entertaining as all hell for me to want to watch.
You have always been in on the FIFA World Cup.
Yeah.
That's true. Soccer.
That's fair.
So,
how long have you been watching the Buffalo Bills?
Well,
his entire life. But I will say that
Well, that's the point, though. That made me not... Well.
Corey, this is the thing, though. I picked Liverpool because they were capable of winning, but they hadn't won in a long time. You're not really... You're not a bandwagoner at all when I picked Liverpool in, like, 2013. Lou has missed the boat.
Yeah,
you can't now pick Liverpool. Like, that shit, to me, that is off limits.
You're not really experiencing the full force of soccer unless you're extremely angry and frustrated all the time.
Oh, so Arsenal should be his team.
I just feel like, for sure.
I feel like I've been a sports fan too long without soccer get that passion.
Okay,
no, you can get it.
Everybody I know is going to want to murder me, which is why I'm going to suggest it live on the air to potentially millions of people. A team you should consider is Chelsea, and I'll tell you why. Because
Joe never steered me towards Chelsea.
Because everybody hates Chelsea. There's the reason you might want to pick Chelsea is, one, everyone will hate you, and that gives you something to talk about.
That's true.
But also, two, Christian Pulisic, yeah, who's an American wonder kid, is going to be starting for them maybe for a long time unless he moves on to a better league.
He's been great since they restarted.
Maybe I'll go with Chelsea.
So, like, and as soon as he jumps ship, so do you. So if he goes to, like, La Liga or something like that, you immediately start getting into Spanish soccer.
But. All right.
I like Leicester City. You know,
you do like Leicester City. Everybody loves Leicester City.
It's either
City.
That.
Just, nobody dislikes
his,
Leicester.
Joe's way of trying to get me into soccer a couple years ago is just to consistently use
Badger
different
with
comparisons
Leicester.
With how unique Leicester's like odds were of winning the title than doing it.
It's either that or you go completely off the map and you find like the smallest English town that's got a club and you're like, Nottingham Forest, let's go. That's my team.
Leeds United, that's my.
But isn't Liverpool like the consensus like
they
team
are the most popular.
Buffalo,
they're the most popular team in the United States.
What about? And I feel like in Buffalo, I know a ton of Liverpool fans here.
But
so
it's too late. It's too late. You're a bandwagon.
Extraordinarily
loud.
Isn't Meskhet like a Liverpool backer bar?
Meskhet's technically FC Barcelona, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't look like it when I see.
LeBron even got in on it before you did. He actually put his money where his mouth is. But
all right.
Well, we'll keep pushing Lou towards a Premier League team. If you've got a suggestion for which Premier League team Lou would like, be sure to tweet it directly at him so that he sees it.
But
at DiBiase LOE.
What I like in sports, though, I don't think you can find like a soccer team for me. I don't know.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Like mobile quarterbacks,
Corey,
I like young players.
I hate Chelsea, and I'm going to be very annoyed
like,
if he becomes a Chelsea fan.
Listen, I don't like it either. I don't like it either.
I'm an upside guy.
I'm good. You know what? Me and him battling all the time with him being a Chelsea fan. No, never mind. No one can be. I don't want him to be a Chelsea fan. Get out of here with that.
You
got to
do it now.
It's now
you
on, have the, to do it's on the table now.
803-0550 is the phone number. We will we'll go through some suggestions. If you want to make your case, again, be sure to tweet at us. We're talking mostly on Cam Newton in the AFC East, the Bills as well, Josh Allen. I do want to talk about whether Allen's bar should be Cam Newton, whether we think that's high enough, whether we think that is reasonable enough. I wonder what you guys think at 803-0550. We'll get into that in just a second, but Jim's been waiting patiently on hold. Jim in Cheektowaga, you're on with Joe and Lou. What's up, man?
Hi.
How's it going, Jim?
Okay. I had a question going back to the football draft.
Yep, go ahead.
Bean said that he was going to move up to pick a player. He was talking with an NFC team, but the player that he was interested in got picked before the they could complete the deal.
Are you talking about this past draft, the 2020 NFL draft?
Right, and it happened on Saturday. Now, the fourth round, the only NFC team ahead of them was Philadelphia, which is only one spot. Fifth round was Detroit, which is only one spot. Would they move up one spot to pick somebody?
Not that I remember.
Are they talking about the first round?
The fifth round. Day two.
Fifth round?
Who did the Eagles pick on
the
day
Eagles
two?
Took John Hightower, the Boise State receiver. I don't think the Bills would have really...
They had already picked Gabriel Davis. They did pick Isaiah Hodgins later, so maybe that was it. But I don't know. I don't remember rumors about I thought Jim was actually calling in to ask about last year with Quinnen Williams, because there were rumors going into the draft that the Bills were trying to trade up to 3 with the New York Jets to take Quinnen Williams.
I mean, the way Williams played compared to Oliver.
My mind was blown with the idea of them trading up significant assets for a defensive tackle.
Who, by the way,
I would have gone crazy.
Who, by the way, was not as good as Ed Oliver in his rookie year.
He was not. And he's had, Oliver's had off the field issues too, so maybe I won't go down that path. All right. Josh Allen versus Cam Newton. I think I will know your answer on this, but. And I've had this discussion with folks before that have listened to our show, but is Cam Newton a high enough bar, you think, for Josh Allen? Like, if I told you right now that Josh Allen will become Cam Newton, and that to me is a very good quarterback that, if you have the right pieces around him, can take you to a Super Bowl. But there will also always be a little bit of a question on the mechanics and the consistency of the accuracy. And honestly, I'm starting to think about this in terms of Allen as well. I brought up that point earlier about mobile quarterbacks not usually making it to their mid-30s and their late-30s of their career. I wonder if that is a conversation we have 10 years down the road if Josh Allen becomes their franchise quarterback. So I'll post that to you. And the Bills, I think, are on track right now to be building. Is it fair to say they're building a better team than Carolina built around Cam Newton?
Oh, easily.
Because,
I mean, Cam didn't have what Josh Allen, what he has at his disposal in year three, Cam didn't have ever, first off, but he didn't have anything close until 2018, 7 years into his career.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, I think Cam doesn't have to have pieces around him to get the job done. Again, he won MVP. He got to a 15-1 record. They were the number one scoring offense in the league, and they got to a Super Bowl. While they lost against Denver, they beat a pretty damn good Arizona Cardinals team in the NFC title game, and that was with Ted Ginn as his number one receiver, Jonathan Stewart as his RB1. I mean, for me, like, wanting Josh Allen to get to Cam Newton's level, that's easier said than, like, that's,
Cam
that's
Newton,
to
by
me,
the way,
one
we're
of
talking,
the best quarterbacks in football.
We're talking Cam Newton as prime, by the way, if anyone's confused.
Sure,
they're not current
right.
Cam Newton. Yeah.
So I think the comparison, that is who you want Allen to be, because like the Panthers with Cam Newton, the Bills did not draft Josh Allen to be a guy that's consistently, you know, having a 67-70% completion percentage. I mean, that's just, it's not who he's going to be. Even if, I will say, Allen took steps short and intermediate wise in year two that Cam did not take for far longer, but they're never still going to be the most accurate. Like, if that was the priority, the Bills would have took Josh Rosen instead of Josh Allen. They took Allen because they want him to be like Newton, where he makes up for that by being an elite red zone threat, by being able to have all these big chunk plays with, you know, the arm strength and the mobility. So I think it's a good comparison. It's a good player. You want him to get to that level. For me, like, to think you want him to get even higher, like, I think people forget just how good Cam Newton was there for the majority of his career with the Panthers. And Allen, yeah, the one thing Allen does have, though, is this organization has done so much better at building around him from a personnel standpoint.
Especially
the Carolina. Yeah, I mean, again, Cam had Steve Smith for a couple years there, but after that, I mean, he carried. I mean, talk about elevating an offense and elevating a coaching staff. You know, we had John Ellison talking about how good Norv Turner was for Cam in 2018, but before that, I mean, that offense with Mike Shula, not even close to what he's going to get with McDaniels. And to me, I just think, yeah, I think that's what you want Allen to get to. And I think from at least the team's perspective, they're doing a much better job at getting him there. So, I mean, there really is no excuse. But, yeah, I think to want even more than what Cam was, again, that's a player that went to a Super Bowl, that won MVP, that was consistently, to me, one of the best quarterbacks in football. So
And the thing is, and the part I disagreed with people on this was their hesitation on Newton was, well, look at the record and look at the fact that he's only had three winning seasons in his entire career. Like, that to me, that fact is kind of astounding. Like, there was that tweet that was circling around in the last 24 hours. Like, what's the random stat that blows you away more than anything? This is not the answer, but it does kind of blow me away that Cam Newton has been consistently, to me, like, his floor has been an above average to very good quarterback. That's been his floor. His ceiling has been MVP of the league. And he's only had three seasons in his entire career where he's had a winning record.
Yeah,
but again, I do believe that if you were just to implant Cam Newton right now into this Bills team at the same age that Josh Allen is, 23 years old, that he would have had a lot more. He would have way more than three winning seasons. So my next question leads me to, is what Newton did sustainable and is it realistic for Josh Allen given the fact that we've already seen him through 2 years? And why I think that he's not quite on track to be as good a quarterback as Newton has been. And that's me, who I think my level of how good Newton is a little bit lower than yours. Maybe not a ton lower.
Mm-hmm.
Newton came right out of the gates, like, with being the quarterback that he's basically been. In fact, his best season statistically, if you even look at his accuracy metrics in the intermediate and the deep passing routes, his highest completion percentage in those areas was his rookie season. It's the only year also that he eclipsed 4,000 yards passing. It was his best rushing season in terms of rushing touchdowns, and it was his third best in terms of running. So to me, like, Newton came right out of the bat and was a star.
Mm-hmm.
Allen, little bit of a slow start in 2018. Some improvement, subtle improvement, I would maybe want to say, in 2019. And here we are in 2020, year number three, and we're still waiting for that jump. And the reason that I would differ him from Newton in terms of their productivity, I think their styles are similar. I think the way that their teams are trying to build around them is similar. I think the Bills are having more success. The difference to me would be, I don't feel like I remembered Cam Newton going into year three and everybody was wondering, is he going to make this significant jump? I think he had kind of already made it. And that's why I'm not sure Allen ever gets to the level that Cam Newton
is. But that's what I'm saying is, I think some people are saying, like, getting to Cam's level is not enough. To me, after 2 years of what we've seen from Allen, I would sign up for that in a heartbeat. And Allen isn't even there. While, yes, he's made bigger strides in the weaker areas that people were concerned about when he came out of Wyoming, one thing that Cam had, and one thing you need Josh Allen to have to get to Cam's point, because again, he is never going to be one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football. He's got to figure out the deep ball. He has got to be able to throw the football down the field and make plays that way. And last year, according to Sports Info Solutions, which a lot of NFL teams pay for their analytics, and it plays a big part in their decision making, they had him last year in deep ball percentage. So that's a huge deal. And while I think he has the personnel now to help him there, I mean, he had it last year too with John Brown, but you add Stephon Diggs too. That to me, yes, Cam is the type of player I think you want Allen, like, that's the type of star he could become. But
yes,
there is a huge part of that element still missing. And if he cannot get that
to work this year,
then for me, I'm looking for something else, because again, I drafted Josh Allen for that arm strength, for that mobility. And yeah, he is there with Cam from a rushing productivity perspective, but deep ball wise, it's not. I mean, that's the one thing Cam doesn't get enough credit for is, yeah, he's not as accurate, you know, 20 yards in, but outside of that, I mean, Cam Newton's one of the best deep ball passers I've watched, you know, watching football for the last 20 years.
Here is where I'm at with Allen. And I think I've changed on this because I do believe Allen as a prospect has changed. When he was drafted, what was he as a draft pick? He was the boom or bust guy.
Yeah.
He was the raw guy that, hey, he could be the best quarterback in football. He also could flame out of the league in 3 years.
Yeah.
That the range of outcomes on Josh Allen seemed to be incredibly different. And fast forward 2 years, I don't feel that way about Josh Allen at all right now. In fact, I feel like his floor, we've already seen it. And it's arguably a starting, it's I think it's definitely a starting quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's arguably a, I wouldn't make the argument. Someone would argue maybe hit Josh Allen right now is good enough to be a franchise quarterback. I'm not doing it. I think he's a starting caliber quarterback as his floor. But his ceiling to me is no longer the best quarterback in football.
Yeah,
I don't think that's in the range of outcomes. And that's why when he was drafted, I would have told you No, I would not sign up for Cam Newton right now because you drafted him to be a guy that can be the best quarterback in football. I do believe Cam Newton has been a very good quarterback for a long time. I personally, other than 2015, I have never considered him an elite quarterback. I think he had one elite year and the rest he has been very, very good to great. Allen, I would have been hoping for more when they picked him. Now, I would be completely content with him being Cam
Newton. It is interesting that it kind of flipped because you did draft Allen to be, again, like Cam Newton. You're saying, all right, yeah, this isn't going to be a high floor player, but, you know, we can deal with the inefficiencies as a passer if he is making plays like Cam Newton has. Whereas now you're looking at what they need out of Allen in year three. I think he's fixed a lot of the, not maybe, I don't want to say fixed, but he has improved drastically in the areas that made, you know, Football Outsiders call him a parody of a prospect, but now he doesn't, the ceiling we're talking about that they drafted him to reach, there's like, that's the key area now that he hasn't gotten to when it comes to the big plays with his arm. People thought when they drafted him out of Wyoming, all right, yeah, you might not be able to move the football as efficiently, you know, again, 20 yards in, but you're going to get those chunk plays, and you haven't got that yet. So, and for me, though, for them to get out of Allen what they invested, he's got to figure out the deep ball, because, again, that's what Cam had. So I think it's a good comparison. I think that's a player you want him to strive to be like, but there's definitely work to be done there. Again, Cam wanting him to be Cam Newton, that's no small task. I know you don't think he was as good as I do throughout his career, but I think Cam Newton consistently for 7 years was a top 10 quarterback.
They're also maybe the only two quarterbacks that have ever run the way they do. Like big, physical, fast. Like it's very complete the way they run. Corey tweeted out...
I'm getting so many recruiting.
About suggesting making pitches Chelsea. To me. I think the funniest tweet so far is from Jeremy White, who tweeted in, nobody likes anybody that likes Chelsea.
Somebody
and
said,
I think that actually might push Lou more towards Chelsea.
Yeah, that kind of makes me want it more.
I think you may have nailed it.
Everybody's going to hate
you. Because
if
I'm going to get into soccer, there's got to be something that makes it fun for me, and being the villain on soccer Twitter.
Play the heel.
Being the villain on soccer Twitter would be fun. Somebody told me don't pick Arsenal. They'll break your heart over and over.
Yes, that's pretty much. If you want your heart broken, go ahead and pick Arsenal.
Man U, I guess, is a young up-and-coming group.
Absolutely.
And
they're also the Yankees.
I like young upside, so that's good.
Would you pick the Yankees if they were young and upcoming?
No.
Because that's what Manchester United feels like
Joe,
to me.
Rich Mattingly, says that Tottenham is very solid if you like Buffalo sports.
I think Chelsea and Spurs are the top two right
Someone
now.
Just made the case for Crystal Palace.
No. Ryan Gates like Crystal Palace, and he doesn't like the Premier League.
They have one
anymore,
of
so that's all you need to know about Crystal Palace.
Good Lord. It's a cool name, though.
803-0550 is the phone number. If you're hanging on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in the next segment. We'll continue with Newton and AFC East Josh Allen talk as well. Joe DiBiase, Lou DiBiase. It's Two Bros Live going to 3 o'clock here on WGR. Mike Tagliere of Fantasy Pros going to join me, Joe DiBiase, as well as Lou DiBiase, coming up in just about 5 minutes. 803-0550 is the phone number. Josh Allen, Cam Newton, the AFC East on the table on today's show. We'll go to the phone lines real quick here before we hit the top of the hour. Bill in Lancaster, you are on Two Bros Live. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys. So I agree with most of your points in general between the comparisons between the two. Cam, obviously, in his prime, clearly kind of a better player than Josh is at this point. One point I do want to make is that I do think Josh right now is better in terms of passing when he's improvising, kind of when the play breaks down, in terms of passing, not necessarily rushing, but than Cam was even in his prime. I don't think Cam outside of the pocket in his prime was particularly great when he was throwing, you know, out the sidelines. I think one of Josh's strengths over Cam in general is that his ability to keep his eyes downfield, where I feel like Cam obviously pulled the tuck and rushed a lot. I'm a huge Cam supporter. I think he's one of the most exciting players maybe ever to watch just in football in terms of style. So I think it's nice to have that. The other point I want to make is Cam obviously came out as a purebred stud, number one overall pick, undisputed by anybody, where obviously we knew Josh was kind of a boomer bust, like you said, Joe, and a little bit more of a prospect, a project. To make into a great quarterback.
Yep.
And I don't think, obviously, he's there yet, but I think there's a lot of building blocks. And even if he just slightly improves on his deep passing, as we've seen with his intermediate passing, if you're getting 30 total touchdowns from a guy and over 5,000 total yards, You know, that right there is a great building block in terms of just providing for an offense. Even if you have weapons go down that are injured or you lose some guys because of the cap situation coming up, you're still going to have, you know, if you have 30 total touchdowns, you have over 5,000 total yards. I mean, that's a big building block. And even if he hits 7 or 8 more of those deep passes that he missed badly this year, next year, then that's going to be an extra, you know, 300 yards to contribute in an X amount of touchdowns, you know. So
yeah.
I think that there are a lot of comparisons between the two that are totally fair. I just would say don't rush it because he clearly has great potential. And even if this year he only makes slight improvements maybe in the deep passing game in general, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has made a career out of just not being able to be tackled in the backfield and being able to be a great passer after that.
Yeah, Bill, sorry we got to cut you off there, man, because we got to hit a break. But there's a lot in there.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything that I strongly disagreed with. Other than maybe I don't think we will touch on this real quick. Yeah. I don't think Allen is a better passer at this point than Newton was.
No, and I think he was talking about on the run, which I do think is a strength for Josh Allen. I don't think he's giving Cam enough credit in that area, but
that is a strength of Allen. So
he does need to take the step, but you can't just ignore the rushing yards. Like, production is production though, and if you are consistently getting those 600 to 700 rushing yards for Allen too, though, like you can't. That's got to be a part of the conversation.
Yeah. Mike Tagliere, Fantasy Pros, right after this on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.